Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Episode 36. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always,
is Pat.
And Kat having minor issues.
Yeah, so Kat is in a hat, but can't see.
Yeah, so the hat's second right now.
Apparently the hat is dropping balls of fire into her eyes or something like that.
Oh, it's about to water. Jesus. All right, moving on.
Well,
Kat's just really emotional this morning, and she's trying to blame it on her hat.
She's so happy.
My mommy's here, you goddamn right!
Well, see, there's some legitimacy to that. Yeah. Jokingness. Anyway, we're going to get right into the top of the stack today. I'm going to lead us with Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider Numero Dos, number two for those of us who don't know Numero Dos. This is written
five,
by...
thank you.
This is written by Seanan McGuire with art by Rosie Compe. I'm digging this series. I don't have a ton of knowledge of Spider-Gwen, but I was right in my predictions about who the goblin was. Although I like the idea that the goblin and Spider-Man were this team together, and that the goblin was an engineered superhero, and I don't know, there's something that's really sweet about that. It pays homage to some of the storylines from the late 90s, early 2000s, where there's a Green Goblin miniseries where he was a superhero as well, and the relationship between Gwen and Mary Jane is really interesting. It's also sort of
friends.
It seems like they were really, really close.
Or are they more than that? Because that was where I got lost in translation a little bit. I wasn't too sure.
Maybe they were in a relationship. They seem like they are very, very close, and that would be
super close. But that's why I was like, is there more here?
And there's a statement about you bring a ghost into my home, and it's starting to think that the Ghost Spider name is going to have a couple of different meanings. I really dug this. That was really cool. So, Patrick, what do you have?
All right, so I guess for me, top of the stack was, this is Hex Wives, issue number 2, written by Ben Blacker with art by Mirka Andolfo.
We gotta copy people, Pat.
What do you mean, Pat?
I didn't read that first, because now I have to find something else that I read first.
Well, I'm sorry to take away the top of your stack, or take the wind out of your sails for that.
May I ask a weird question?
The hex out of my wives.
That seems like a good thing. It's like you want the hex taken out of your wives, right?
I mean, they do in this comic.
Uh-oh. But, like, why do we all go to number twos?
That's true, because you had a number two, a number two.
Yeah, it's just that. We needed that next part of whatever we started reading recently.
Exactly. Started when we were reading, and I was like, this isn't enough.
Right?
Yeah, give us more. But I don't know. I think number two, for me, at least, it shows the progression of this story in a very interesting and super creepy way.
What is their relationship? That's my biggest thing.
Well, so essentially the whole plot of this is that there were witches, and that this cult, I guess, they figure out...
I think they're probably closer to witch hunters, would be my guess.
Yeah, it is like a cult of witch hunters, kind of. But they figure out the only way to stop the witches from having magic is for them to fall in love with somebody. So they all somehow convince these witches. There's a skip in time. It doesn't show how they do it, but they fall in love. And then they're 50s housewives. And, like, it's really interesting because they have a conversation. There's the two witches talking at one point, and they're having a conversation about how their husbands basically fabricate problems that they can then come in and save them from. It's this really interesting, like, sort of subtext there about, like, and, you know, like, he comes in and kills a spider, and she's like, oh my god, what would I ever do without you? And he's like, yeah, what would you do without me? That spider sure would have got you.
I will tell you in an all-female home, you both are screaming while one tries to smash it with a shoe.
See, you figure it out eventually.
I literally just, like, that took me a moment to realize what you were talking about. I was like, duh. I get it now.
Literally a spider.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also there's a really nice sex scene in here where, you know, it shows...
Nice? I don't know about nice. I was, like, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, where the wife explicitly,
there's
like,
no bouncing wow wow in that scene.
Oh, no.
He gives it to her, and then it's, like, 3 minutes, You know?
I don't think he gives her anything, though, because if you look at one point, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I pulled out. She's like, you weren't ever in.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot that.
I was like, all right, gross.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, you pulled out, you weren't in. So that makes me really confused about what he was doing.
See, my biggest thing is I don't understand if this is like a manipulative act or he actually has some weird, creepy fascination with her.
I mean, I think both. I think on the one hand, he's literally trying
to stop.
He's extremely
manipulative, though.
Yeah, well, because he's manipulating the witches into not being witches.
Just on an emotional standpoint from, because he, like, she walks in and he's, after he doesn't eat her meal, and then he's, like, crying.
Yeah.
You're just such a wonderful wife. I'm like, that's like abusive behavior.
Yeah.
That's gaslighting.
Yeah, that's true. I totally forgot about the sandwich conversation.
Quick aside, how is Mirka's artwork in this compared to Unnatural?
I forget that. Damn, that's true.
I want to say I actually prefer this to Unnatural.
Unnatural is a little... I mean, we've all had my moment of, you know, that was the sexiest wolf I've ever seen. And in this one, I don't... Oh, hey, you have it. Perfect. I didn't read it yet.
Yeah. It's different stylistically. I feel like Unnatural is a little bit more cartoony, whereas Hexwives is a little bit more realistic.
With that one, though, I feel like there's less... This is more 3D, and that one's more flat.
Yes. Actually, yeah, because on Unnatural, Andolfo colors as well.
Oh, shit, I forgot.
But I think on Hexwives, there is a different color.
I'll check that while you guys continue chatting.
But I'm fairly certain, with that one, there's more, it's more realistic looking to me, as weird as it sounds with, you know, the humanoid animals, than...
Yeah, you're definitely right. It's a little bit more 3D. It pops a little bit more. You can tell that she primarily works in the digital medium.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to Hexwives, that seems more classic.
It does.
Pencils and inks kind of stuff.
Title page.
So.
I'm gonna disagree on that one, and I'm going to say that she probably, yes, digitally colors, but I think I see the ink line stronger on Unnatural. But that's me.
You're the one that's an actual professional opinion.
I can't find the actual credits in this book.
They're either at the end or they're like...
Yeah, it's at the...
Yeah, so the colors is Marissa Louise.
Okay, so it is a different color.
Colorist.
Color tricks.
And she has a color assistant on Unnatural.
Oh, she has a color assistant, so they co-color.
Co-color.
Nice. Yay! Here we are figuring out the credits to our favorite books.
You know, just
we come prepared here.
Yes, I know exactly.
In our defense, there's a lot of information in comic books, and we read like 10, 15 books a week.
Yeah, so I know, right?
Keeping it all straight, we apologize to the creative teams. We just want to make sure that we get everything right. So we are going to look through the books and make sure that
we love all of your different reasons. But yeah, Hexwives, great. I mean, not
big
great.
Sigh.
It's a Patrick great, which means that if you really want to hate yourself and hate society.
The shit husbands of the 50s, I'll tell you that much.
50s, that's today.
I don't know, I'm looking at that and I'm like, he's not a bad guy.
I mean, yeah, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, but just because Nat's not a bad guy doesn't mean that this stuff still doesn't happen today.
It happens with women, too. Oh, yeah. Shit spouses. We'll go shit spouses.
Shit spouses.
We won't judge
that.
Shit spouses.
All right, let's move away from shit spouses. Anyhow.
Sorry
You're
to
welcome.
Future spouses.
Yeah. we'll just go into some quick news here. There's not a ton to chat about today. We're going to do some special stuff here at the end of the episode. So Rocketeer was going to be a title at IDW, but it's not anymore. 3 weeks prior to its actual debut, which could have been the day after Christmas, the series has been officially canceled by IDW. There was some high-profile names on this book.
Did it give a reason why?
No. They said that they're going to continue doing something with the property, but... No real information given. They said they like working with all the creators. Yeah. I believe Javier Pulido was going to be one of the illustrator on the book. Bear with me. But we were pretty excited about it here at Griffin Games and Comics. We have a couple of major Rocketeer fans, and yeah, it's kind of just sad that it's...
Well, I remember in previews. Yeah. I mean, I was like the only one silent, but I'm also picky.
Yeah, it was just, it's kind of sad. It was Rocketeer Reborn was the official title of the book.
Is that what it was? I don't remember.
Sorry, trying to get some creator information on this. My notes are a little... I have bad handwriting, so my notes are a little unreadable at this point.
He doesn't have, like, a dial back here where he's flipping to try and decipher. That clicking noise you hear, that's not what that is.
Oh, that's definitely a G. it was going to be written by Elsa Charterrier and Patrick... Pierrick, excuse me, Colonnais, with art by Javier Pulido. So, yeah, like, sad. I wanted to see something pulpy and fun, so.
And French, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Yeah,
that sounded super French.
So, but I guess we move past that. Sad. We're going to do a lot of, like, movie-ish news, movie and TV here. Black Panther has just been announced about an hour before our recording that 3 Golden Globe nominations. It's going to be for Best Original Score, Best Original Song, and Best Picture Drama.
Yay. I love All the Stars. That's such a good song. That's it is. Like, oh my God.
You say that, but then I always think about the Weeknd song, the one, the last song Pray of the album. Me. Yeah, and I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah, because I think they're going with essentially the T'Challa theme, right? Because...
Well, he got score in general, so I think primarily it would be for T'Challa's theme.
Well, but the original song, All the Stars, is T'Challa's theme, and then Pray For Me is...
No. All the Stars is... All the Stars is the song they play during the credits. God. T'Challa's theme right. is, like, the horn... Yeah. Progression, the da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, okay, yeah, but lyrically, it's T'Challa's okay. theme. Because yes. just, like, Pray For Me is Killmonger's theme.
Okay, yeah, I meant theme more yeah, literally from themes. The music.
John Williams' time
yeah. themes. Because yeah. Black Panther is the only character now in the MCU that has their own theme. Because the Avengers as a team has a theme, you know, that you hear all the time during the movies. It's that big epic, yeah. you know.
Alan Silvestri.
Yes. So, yeah, he's the only one that
Captain
actually
America has a theme.
Does he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I feel bad because the composer. We got way off topic. But anyway, Black Panther, 3 nominations. Best Picture. Best Picture
Things aren't
drama. So that certainly is going to put pressure on the Academy to start looking at that for Best Picture as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. you know, the Golden Globes, only I think they only do 5 nominations in each of their categories, whereas the Oscars can go up to 10 in the Best Picture nomination category.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well.
Be interesting yeah. to see.
Yes.
May come up in a later conversation for this episode, so stay tuned.
Yep.
Other movie news, Chris McKay, director of the Lego Batman movie and the supposed director of Nightwing, which is in development hell, is also in development in a Lego Batman sequel.
Yes.
So that movie is literally sitting on my shelf and I still haven't watched it.
I could not get the end credits song out of my head yesterday.
God damn it.
It's ridiculous. I love that movie with an unbridled passion.
Yeah, and if it's even a fraction as good as if the sequel is even a fraction as good as the original, then it will be one of the best DC movies released.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that. That's
I think it would be really, a little low.
It would be really hilarious if they like do a nod to the whole Nightwing idea, especially with the Michael Cera Robin, like
yes.
turning into actually like hard and gritty Nightwing. Yeah. It'd be really, really funny. I mean, anything they do is going to be an absolute so joy. But the first movie was so much
about
family.
I don't know what
they
family. Did with Teen Titans Go. Yeah. If they'd go that route with that, too.
Well, like, yeah. making a movie.
Yeah, like see, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see, like, where thematically they go.
Yeah. Because
that was one of the surprising things to me about Lego Batman is how, like, emotionally strong the character arcs right. were. And, like,
yeah, how everybody yeah. grows. Especially, it was very much a Batman story growing into realizing he loves family. Anyway, we yeah. talk about that for way too long.
Yeah.
we also had a couple of Elseworlds CW crossover trailers drop. I mean, I'm excited for this. The CW crossovers have been great in the past. asked.
Quick question. Actually, is it Elseworld or Elseworld?
It is Elseworld. I am okay. Being an old comic reader and not having, you know, a bunch of podcasts when I was 8 years old to listen to.
Well, no, I mean, but that's a very specific difference because Elseworld means that it, like, belongs to El, but Elseworld is a different... Is it? That's my stupid English brain.
Well, and it was just... I just read it wrong as a kid. It was the Elseworlds, but it's Else, like, other worlds.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Sorry, I just had to... You said that, and I just had to get clarification.
Well, yeah, we've got... You've seen Smallville stuff in there. Mm-hmm. You saw the dude from the original Flash.
Yep.
He was in there.
John Wesley Shipp.
In his foam suit.
Yeah. I know, right?
We saw Hawkgirl's helmet destroyed, like, on the ground.
We've also seen a little bit more of Batwoman.
Batwoman actually doing, like, things. Some things.
We actually see...
Batwoman-y things.
We actually see her out of costume, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had a thought, and it just left me.
I'm really excited for this.
Oh, we see one of the monitors in both of them.
Yeah.
He's got some sort of, like, book of life. The overwhelming thing in the second teaser that we watched, like, the one that you said is the end of Supergirl.
I'm pretty sure it's the end of Supergirl.
Is that to me, the way he said his final line was that he's going to kill all of the Barry Allens.
Or, well,
like,
they're the only ones that are... able to stop him and all, like, half when you think about
it's it's gearing towards the Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of scenario, which makes sense. Like, it's always centers a Flash always dies in a crisis.
True. Touche. So, I mean, the other portion, well, DC Legends isn't in this one either, so it's only Barry Allen.
Legends isn't part of it.
Legends is not part of this
interesting
one. It's Arrow, Supergirl, and Barry.
Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, and then Batwoman being a launching point from this crossover. It'd be interesting to see if that actually occurs in the same universe or if that is a literal different Earth, just the same way, like, Black Lightning seems to be.
Well, Supergirl is, too.
Oh, yeah, Supergirl's a different Earth. Yep. But that's right.
Mm-hmm. Traveling through portals. Was Supergirl in this trailer? Yeah,
she's in the very the long trailer.
Yeah, several times. I was forgetting that.
Yeah, because we get Superman.
That's right. We get evil Superman, Earth 2 corrupted Superman guy thing.
I really hope they throw Black Lightning into this mix too, because if they have Supergirl, then
they gotta have some surprises. You know, like, there's gotta be something in here that we don't know about. So,
well, that's why there's probably not that much. Honestly, we all know what I'll be watching for, and what Cat feels after it is done.
That's actually like the big driving element for me is that I really want to see Batwoman.
Same here, honestly. Well,
considering I'm, like, starving for Batwoman content lately, this is all I have, so...
Starving for Batwoman's your album title?
God.
Starving for Batwoman.
With that...
I'm dead.
That is... weird context, if you think about it.
I'm dead. Another quick teaser that, Cat showed us this morning was the Spider-Ham Into the Spider-Verse teaser. Boy, I cannot wait for this movie. I don't know what else to say about that.
Wow.
I just need resolution on the fact that in this 30-second trailer, you see him twice eating hot dogs. I hope they're beef franks.
I almost had a spit take with my coffee.
That would be bad. Please do not do a spit take around here, Dad.
I know. I'm like, I got a spit. There's no safe place.
Yeah,
nothing is safe.
There's literally dozens of comic books and thousands of dollars worth of recording equipment.
Comic books. We've got magic cards. Outlets in every direction. Yeah, so the Spider-Ham teaser, I think one of the things that's really cool for me and all the stuff that... I'm trying to stay away from a lot of stuff for Spider-Verse because we're really close to its release. But the stylistic changes between the characters.
Yes.
And seeing, like, animation in Spider-Ham's universe that is, like, truly looking like 2D animated artwork.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
I'm game for this. I literally want. I'm like, sweet. I get Looney Tunes.
Yeah, at this point in time, it's like, and I don't need anything else for this movie because I'm so ready to see it.
Oh yeah.
There's nothing.
I think that was funny. Like last week when we were texting back and forth trying to figure out recording time for future. And I was like, what about like two Fridays also doing an episode? And you're like, nope, can't.
Yeah, I was like, nope, Spider-Man. I have a schedule that day.
Well, the best part is he reminded me that I bought those tickets too for the morning.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm going to paint a picture. We're tangenting a little bit. But next Friday, which would be the release of Into the Spider-Verse, is also the final season of Voltron. And the next episode of Titans, because it looks like they're taking a week off. So that means my morning is going to be going out and feeding the chickens, sitting and watching like four episodes of Voltron, going to the movies, coming home, making dinner, watching Titans, and then going to bed watching Voltron.
Oh my god. This I'm is like, our life.
Into the Spider-Verse and 10:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because nice. Cat don't do people.
You may still be doing
people. Oh, no, totally. I know I will. I know better than that, so. But I can hope.
But isn't it a great time to be a geek? Like, when you think that's what your day is, like, well, I'm going to do that. I got to run some point in time.
You can just run to the theater and back.
I'm pretty sure at this point I'm just like, I've given up until after the holidays.
It's like, you will not see me anymore. All right. Well, I guess the big thing is the Captain Marvel full trailer released just a few days ago. I thought it was absolutely terrible, and I don't understand the direction that the MCU is going in. Okay, no, I can't even keep that.
I hear this, but I'm not sold by your voice.
I figured you were trying to do sarcasm, but I was like, this is also coming from the guy that like grabbed me and shook me like when the trailer came out. Patrick!
Yeah, exactly.
What?
So, actually, what do you guys think? I'll let you guys start.
There's two different cuts in it where it shows, it's like a quick, like, split second cut of her from different ages, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know why, man, that got me so good, like, chills. Like, just showing her as a kid and then in the army and then as, like, herself grown up. Like, wow, like, that, I don't know, like, I'm expecting... That trailer set the bar really high for me, and I usually don't like to set trailer bars high, but mm-hmm. like, I think it's gonna be a super like thematically heavy movie actually, which I'm really happy for.
Kat, you all right there?
Yeah.
You separated those words in my head too much because he said trailer. So I heard trailer bar, and I'm like, why are you setting a trailer bar on a bar in a trailer?
Oh, I love trailer bars. Are you kidding me?
Have you been watching Ready Player One? You're setting a bar in the stacks.
Yeah, I've been watching too much Trailer Park Boys.
So, Kat, what was your overall thoughts?
She looks like I didn't actually realize it until IGN so nicely pointed it out to me, but they had a cut of Captain Marvel at the one scene where she's in the middle and she's like all glowing.
Full glowy.
And then underneath it, they have a picture of Goku going Super Saiyan for the first time. And I was like, well.
Yeah. Well,
apparently we now have a Super Saiyan in the MCU.
Because her hair in that shot too is going straight up. It goes DBZ.
Well,
that's the best part of it is if you look at it, it's got the wave at the bottom and a point at the top.
Yes.
And I was like,
yes, exactly.
After seeing it and like seeing the comparison, I'm like, this kind of has to be an homage.
I hope so.
Which is, you're seeing a lot of love right now for that generation of anime, so mm-hmm. that would make total sense.
Well, I mean, you bring it up, like, so Captain Marvel is already leaning heavy into 90s nostalgia, which we as a society are leaning into with the blockbuster, and so, like, that would make sense if they're bringing back a lot of that, like, not even explicitly, but, you know, sort of subtly too for us 90s kids that love campy stuff like that.
That's what else did you think, like, just in general, like feelings of the trailer?
You always hit this point with Marvel that I have such a blind spot that I can't comment always on what it looks like, but reading oh my god, what's the Captain Marvel title that's going on right
life
now?
Life of
The Life of Captain Marvel, it looks like that's why they did it, is for the movie, if they're sitting in the same universe. So,
gotcha, trying to
trying to paint it, which makes sense from what you see in the trailer, because she's like, oh, we gave you Kree blood, and it's like, but she already looks like she's bleeding Kree blood.
Right.
So it looks like...
Oh, yeah, I guess because there's not really a good time sense with all of the intercutting for what happens where.
I have no idea, but, I mean, yeah. It comes out March, right?
It comes out March. It actually comes out, I think, on International Women's Day.
Oh, really? That's a nice little nod.
I mean, I don't know. She's got her helmet and the mohawk. I was like, you did it right!
Oh, my God, the mohawk. Like, yeah, just every time they show that,
I will say this. I do wish they gave her the mohawk haircut. I'll let it go because she still has it. But
It'd be great if she had the mohawk haircut in Infinity War. Or whatever, the new Avengers.
Yes, like, this is her whole thing, and then the next time we see her.
Well, because she's very much in a 90s, like, hairstyle in this, and they could give her something that's much more of the millennium.
Even if they give her, like, a side shave.
So, mm-hmm. And their other thing is, too, is because they even said it in the trailer, they're like, you know, you'll live longer. I'm like, oh, so when she shows up in however many years, that she's going to look exactly the same.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to question it, because that's what
they're... Nice catch. Yeah. I didn't get that one out of there.
Oh. I mean, it makes sense. Early 90s, right?
I think it's 94. Let's just shoot right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so early 90s, and I'm like, okay, so if someone from the early 90s is not going to look the same exact... Oh, okay, well, it just...
Let's
like,
say I thought it was going to be some sort of a trap.
Let's
like
say
Quantum Realm
Berlin Wall, but pre-SpongeBob.
Wow.
You know what?
That was the 90s?
Yeah.
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 Jeez. Anyway.
Sorry.
That's like, that was a weird, like, culture shock moment for me. That realization of how old I am. Like, oh my God.
Berlin.
Oh, wait, was
SpongeBob
Berlin 89 or? It was
history lesson.
Okay, never mind. It's for the different podcast. Patrick bores people with history.
All right, well.
Round two.
I guess I can talk about it for real now about what excited me. This is like, I'm a super geek. So the Marvel logos turning blue in reference to the Kree at the beginning of the trailer. Brilliant for me. Like,
see,
we actually
like
had.
This is the moments I get disappointed because since I have those blind spots.
I had a big question in the trailer is who the hell is Annette Bening's character? Because she's literally telling both Carol and the audience the origin story, like where she came from. So that means she is high level Kree. Like, is she Supreme Intelligence Kree? Is she just the current leader of the Kree army? Really excited about that. And holy shit, Annette Bening is in a Marvel comic book movie.
Where is she from?
Thank you.
She is the, like, she and her husband, Warren Beatty, are, like, the heads of the Academy. They've been acting for years.
Okay. That's
they don't quote me on that. I know they have a relationship with the Academy Awards.
Okay.
I don't know where.
They're like, you know what? We're bored.
I don't
what
know
you got?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I have mohawk with exclamation points in my notes. Cause it's just, it was so cool to see that she actually gets the space mask and it gives it a reason. Like, you know, it's traveling through space.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you don't
want to
get
like
stuff
that.
In your eyes.
Yeah. we still don't know why there's a transition color-wise between the two suits, why she has the red suit and the green-blue suit, so it'll be nice to get that.
The green-blue suit is going to be her when she's fighting with the Kree.
Well,
or not fighting, it's Kree, fighting with the...
when she's with that super team.
I'm assuming the red and blue is... My guess is, and this is how I am with movies, my guess is she finds out something and it pisses her off, so she's like, you made me, but I am not you.
Well, but are we going to have like an Incredible Hulk scenario that when she transforms after realizing that, like it changes the colors of her suit? Or is she going to be like, I need you guys to tailor me a red and blue one because I'm not down with this whole Kree thing anymore?
Nick Fury's like, we like these colors more on you. You should wear this.
I was literally assuming.
You were a part of the something.
I was just assuming that it was like a ranking thing. Like she is a private. And that's why she is wearing the green. And then when she becomes
but the
captain,
ranking is all the number of points on the star.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Okay, well then I have no idea. That was my only theory.
And if you look at Jude Law's character, he's like his star is like points, and then points behind the points, and points behind the points.
So he looks
to be like the official in the army.
Right. Well, thanks for poking a lot of holes in my theory.
The dry humor made me like really happy, especially with Fury, like the whole cat scene, and then like, do you know how to fly this? Maybe that's a yes or no question.
Well, I love that because that's like so in line too with like his character in the actual comic book, because he is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, one of the most serious people, but he also has like the like one of the like driest, like wittiest senses of humor.
I heard a criticism that said it didn't feel like Nick Fury, and I disagree because it feels like young, kind of a little bit more brash Nick Fury. Which I mean, it's the '90s. We're talking about 30 or 20 some odd years ago. So. Yeah,
except when basically. If you take over Shield, is he actually head of Shield right now?
I would imagine that he's probably not the leader of Shield.
So that's going to change someone too.
Yes.
Well, he also has two eyes, so we're probably going to get some sort of a scene as to why he doesn't have two eyes.
Poke some holes in his eyes too.
Jesus Christ!
I mean, your
eye. I can't believe you went there.
I mean, I'm gonna go there. Your eye is a hole, though.
Which, just a return to form. I don't know what you're doing. No, what were you saying?
I was gonna say, Clark Gregg too is supposed to be in it too, so we're gonna get interactions between young Nick Fury and young Clark Gregg.
I hope he has a bowl cut. Just to no end. I cannot tell you like how great that would just be. Like intern Clark or like, intern Coulson. He's like bringing coffee.
Oh
and he's,
my
like,
god! Yes, that would be so good. I hope that's his introduction.
Oh my god! Bringing coffee over to Carol and Nick Fury. Like where they're having a big discussion.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah, and he's like, we're super nervous.
Do you like your coffee?
Yeah. I hope I got almond milk. Right? Like, no, I just asked for regular. Oh no! Oh goodness.
It was the '90s. It was either soy milk or the different grades of actual milk.
Yes, that's true.
That's hilarious.
Oh my goodness!
And I still have a couple more notes that I wanted to hit on this one. The cat. So the cat's name in the comics is Chewie. Obviously, Star Wars reference. Mm. The cat in the movie is named Goose. Top Gun reference. Wow. And then the thing that just gets me, and it gets me every time I watch this trailer, is I did not realize how much I wanted the energy-based superhero with flight, with energy blasts. We haven't really seen it. It's a weird thing. Like, you know, you have Iron Man's tech-based. Thor uses the hammer as kind of, you know, and it's almost all lightning and then weaponry like that. Hulk is just straight brute strength.
Yeah.
We haven't had the energy superhero that punches their fist out and, you know, energy pops
and
out of it.
Shoots a lightning blast or what have you.
Yeah,
or...
it's like a, and there's a weird effect that I, you know, from the animation perspective that I really enjoy is that there's a, like a halo of glowing white energy on her fists, but it's so like radiant heat that rather than starting there and just projecting forward, it leaks into her forearm. So there's like a full 360 degrees of radiation from like the actual point, and I just think visually it looks so plausible that it just makes me really happy to see. So
nice.
There's just and that's the super geek in me, just like from a design sense, like I just jaw dropped in awe with that visual sense.
No, I mean I feel like we've definitely talked about that before, where you know though you're in a ridiculous superhero fantasy universe, the physics still should make sense to a certain degree.
Right. They should make sense within their own world.
So, you know, you gotta be able to believe the giant streams of laser fire that come out. Like,
and
the
sonic boom reverse thing that she does when she drops in the room and like fists together, whip them out, and it's like an energy wave. I was like,
yeah,
exactly. Fangirling as I'm watching
the
trailer.
She's the first female lead in a Marvel movie too.
Yeah, well, first solo female lead because Ant-Man and the Wasp was a co-lead title.
Yeah, I would, so. And she definitely stole the show.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like Black Widow and Captain America too.
Oh yeah.
But that's a conversation
her name is
or
the title
5 minutes from now.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, does anybody else have any final thoughts on that trailer before we move into a
apparently not 5 minutes way to make me lie. Yeah.
5 seconds? We're gonna do 50 seconds? I'll count it down.
Nah, no, I'm good. It's great. I'm
all
so
right.
excited.
Well, with that, the release of this trailer, we thought it might be an awesome way to honor the MCU by talking about our top five rankings individually. How do you guys want to do this? You want to roll each one of us talk our five, and then we go pass it around and we can discuss a little bit after that?
Do you want to
count down and we each go through our five, we each go through our...
Let's just list them all real quick and then maybe go back and give honorable mentions to them.
I'm going to pass it to Kat then to lead us off. If you want to do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, start from the bottom, go to the top.
Ooh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So we got number 5 is Iron Man 2, which was the first appearance of Black Widow.
Okay.
First appearance of Black Widow, and she just whoops Tony Stark's ass from, like, the whole movie. And it's wonderful and beautiful. And the fact, and this is where it's going to get salty for a second, the fact that Captain Marvel is the first female lead in any of these movies is annoying in itself. And not I still like enough. Captain Marvel.
Right, but
I'm not saying I hate her, but I'm pissy because how long has Black Widow been around? But, no.
Yeah, they definitely should have been a Black Widow movie by now. But that's
And then you've got Captain America, the first Avenger, and this is the role I like. I had Johnny Storm with Chris Evans, and then I got Captain America, and I'm like, this is better.
That makes sense.
And, I mean, I figured out watching that movie, I'm like, yeah, Captain America is the Boy Scout of Marvel.
Yeah.
We both know it's, who likes Fantastic Boy Scouts?
Fantastic performance in that movie.
And then we've got the first Avengers, where you actually see Tony Stark be a human.
So, I think, like, the full title for that movie is, like, Marvel Studios The Avengers.
Yeah, it's like Marvel's The Avengers or something like that.
Which is really weird. They should have gone with the title that's international, I mean, which was Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, it was the first, I mean, it was the first, like, big superhero.
Disney presents Marvel presenting The Avengers presenting fighting.
It was before the purchase of Lucasfilm.
It was the first big production of a bunch of a superhero team, so you can't not like that. Then you have Captain America Winter Soldier, because, once again, more Black Widow.
Was that your number 2?
Yes, that would be number 2. Yeah, Captain America Winter Soldier, more Black Widow.
More Black Widow.
More Black Widow.
Colin, more Black Widow.
All right, so do we drum roll it out? Your number 1 MCU film is?
I get a lot of shit, too. Avengers Age of Ultron.
Whoa! Hot take. Mm-hmm. Hot take. Okay, we're going to have to put that on the back burner, as we'll discuss soon. No, Patrick, you can, I got a process right now. It's not my, anyway, we're going to process this one out.
Alright, so starting at the bottom, and now we're here. No, I'm just kidding. Starting at the bottom for me, we got Avengers Infinity War. We've all seen that. We all know why that's a good movie. Guardians of the Galaxy number 1. Would come above that for me. 2 was super good. It got a little cheesy for me at points, which is what it needed to do, which is also why it's a good movie. Number 3 for me is Avengers Civil War. Or, sorry, Captain America Civil War.
Okay.
I forget that Captain America is a central part for that sometimes. yeah, thematically, that might be Marvel's strongest movie in my mind. Then number 2 is Thor Ragnarok. And then number 1, this is going to come at no surprise to anybody who knows anything about me, is Black Panther.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to pop up on your list.
Yeah.
That's okay. Cool.
I'm sitting in hot water, Patrick. Everybody knew. Yeah,
I think mine will be pretty obvious as well. So, all right. So my 20th is Iron Man 2. At 19, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna do the whole list.
Nat, for people who can't see it, Nat actually does have a list of all 20 Marvel movies ranked from 20 to 1.
So and this came at about as a because I wrote my top 5. And then I started thinking about what was the most overrated MCU movie, and that led into what would be my lowest, because I kind of, like, in the middle, it gets very gray for me.
Okay.
So I was like, well, where's the bottom tier
of these films? So you're really interested in the top 5 and the bottom 5?
Yeah, and I was like, I guess everything in the middle kind of is, like, I love them all, and they're all just kind of their own thing. To be clear, I do love all of the MCU movies. It's kind of an amazing pedigree that they have, but there's a few that, for me, stand head and shoulders above the rest.
No, I'm interested. After you hit us with your top 5, you should hit us with your bottom 5.
Sure, okay. So my top 5, in order from number 5, Avengers Infinity War. I thought it was important to have a team story in my top 5 because of what the Avengers did. But Infinity War, for me, is infinitely watchable. Like, I can just pop it on and just be happy. So it actually supplanted the original Avengers just recently. Number 4, Thor Ragnarok, the movie that after multiple viewings realized that this is a absolute masterpiece of comic book culture. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about this movie. I I regret how the mindset I was in when I first saw this, because it is so much better, and it's held up so well to repeat viewings. Number three, Doctor Strange. He's my favorite character in the MCU. I love the mystic stuff. I love the visual sense. I absolutely love the Ancient One. I thought that casting was inspired and totally off the rails.
That one almost made my list for the aesthetics alone.
It's my favorite origin story movie because I think it's the perfect Iron Man. So I think Iron Man was like the genesis. This is the movie that really started the MCU and sort of told us how we can view an origin story. And Doctor Strange is that idea perfected. So that's where I sit on that one. Number two is the original Guardians of the Galaxy. Once again, that infinite rewatchability. It's that movie that I can just put on. It was so Star Wars for me that I was just like, I love this. I love all of the characterizations. It is a character-driven movie. My number one is what I think is a near perfectly written film is Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Oh.
I think that movie is the one on, and this is funny, this is the one thing on the list of 20 that I can't put on as a background element.
Really?
I can't put Captain America Winter Soldier on and just have it. Movie. Yeah.
No.
I can't have it on. Like, I can't be on while I'm drawing. I'm like, I need to sit down and watch.
Yeah.
The way that the story unfolds, the relationship with Bucky. Yeah, that's an amazing one for me.
Black Widow whooping ass.
So, do you want to discuss just a little bit about some of the stuff before, or do you want to see my bottom five?
I want to see your bottom five before we go.
I figured, start
at the top and then
start at the top. Okay, so I'll start
we'll stick
at
with negative, so I can just run right 16? Into my shit pile that I'm about to run.
Yeah,
into.
So starting at 16, the original Ant-Man is my 16, I prefer Ant-Man. Ant-Man and the Wasp, so Ant-Man and the Wasp is higher. The original Thor. Of the three movies, I like Thor Dark World more than I like Thor, and I think it's because...
I like Thor Dark World
and that's
Thor.
Not a popular take. A lot of people hate that movie, and you know why? In context of the MCU, it doesn't make sense, but I love the weird fucking science fiction movie that Dark World is. It's so strange.
Hey. I also love me some Natalie Portman.
I think that's the only reason I prefer one over two, honestly, is because Natalie's in it.
Yeah, right.
She's in two.
She gets the ether trapped in her, too.
Yeah,
she's really important.
Yeah, that's true. It's been, I haven't seen that movie since it came out, so.
And that's the thing, is I rewatched that and I rewatched Age of Ultron recently, and I actually put Age of Ultron decently high. It's right in the middle of my list.
That's gonna have fun.
So I do want to say, actually, I'm gonna bump up to 15 real quick because this is gonna be an interesting one. 15 is my most overrated film in the MCU is Captain America: Civil War. I have at the 15th ranked movie. Just like Spider-Man Homecoming, if you want to take a nap, that's an easy movie to pop on. And
I totally agree with you on that.
Fun fact, Andy tried to watch.
I know.
Andy tried to watch Captain America Civil War. She couldn't get through it.
Okay, anyway. So 17 was Thor. 18 is Iron Man 3. I don't understand that movie. Like, it feels like it's a cool Shane Black movie, but it's
nobody
not a...
Nobody does.
It's weird.
Which one is that one?
That's the one where he's not even in the suit for most of it. It's the Mandarin movie.
Yeah.
Where,
oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's a good Tony Stark film, but it's not a good Iron Man film.
That one's
It should have been called Tony Stark.
Yeah.
The only good thing about that movie is definitely the Mandarin.
And that's controversial because, you know, it's not actually the Mandarin. It's like the actor playing the Mandarin, you know, like, and so the 10 rings thing never really happened.
That's totally over my
head. See, don't worry. Number 19 for me is The Incredible Hulk. It just doesn't seem like it fits. You know, it's a movie that sort of retroactively became part of the MCU.
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
I love Ed Norton. I love the Abomination idea. Like, the story works for me. It's just, it doesn't feel like it fits in the MCU.
It was a solo film, Endgame. They can keep telling me it's part of the MCU.
Yeah, I mean, like, and it has the ties to Nick Fury and... Tony Stark.
If that's what it makes it to be an MCU film, then...
Because it was produced... it was technically a Universal film, too, but it was produced under the Marvel Studios banner. And then my 20th, my least favorite of the MCU movies is Iron Man 2, because the only redeeming quality is Black Widow. Nothing else in that movie is worth a shit.
No, that's absolutely true.
Sorry, Kat. I know you haven't.
I'm already in the shit for Age of Ultron.
Well, but like we said, Black Widow, which is their favorite part, she's the only good part of that movie.
So, fun fact, I actually really dislike Tony Stark as a character. I actually fucking hate Tony Stark. Interesting. So, watching him get his ass beat...
Stephen Strange for the win!
Watching him get his ass beat for a majority of that movie was pretty wonderful.
Oh, nice.
Just because he's, like, so overly egotistic and, like, misogynistic.
So, my favorite thing, and this is what... It was Civil War basically painted the picture pretty easily. Well, you know, we're not the law. Machines are no better than us. Do they, though? Asshole who creates Ultron. Thanks, dickhead. Thanks for helping. He's basically like, he reminds me a little bit of Batman, except he's worse.
Hey, I love Batman.
Well, so for me, that's the whole reason that I love Civil War so much, is because it is like, it's not like a fight between Captain America and Iron Man, it's a fight between the ideas of pragmatism or utilitarianism versus relativism. You know, and
well, we both know I love Boy Scouts.
Yeah, so obviously with
Captain America,
decide.
he's like, well, you're not above the law. He's like, I'm not trying to be the law. All I'm trying to do is help. Yeah. I'm not here to say you are wrong or you are right. I'm just trying to save the person next to me.
But you can also
Tony Stark never gets that, and it makes me want to just slap the shit out of him.
But there's a lot of people that side with Tony Stark too, because he does bring up a lot of good points. Like, who are we to decide what's right or wrong when there's juries and jurisdictions around the world? And Captain America is like, well, we are justice, we're doing the right thing. He's like, well, you say, you know, that's really what the movie is. It's not a fist fight, it's a verbal fight more than anything.
As well as the fact that I've always viewed Tony Stark as a little bit of a child. Like, the very end of it, when he loses his mind, when he finds out what Bucky did.
Yeah.
I understand, it's your first thought process, but literally to just start beating the shit out of people, I understand and I get it. But you're supposed to be a superhero. You're supposed to be a little teeny bit more level-headed than that.
I mean, you're not wrong, but you're also not right, which makes the movie really good, too. I think, like, you can, if you look at both sides of it, like, Captain America is also wrong, too. Like, Iron Man is way too hot-headed about it, for sure, but so is Cap.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. That's all right. Up there for me.
I have to know the Age of Ultron thing. I have it as 11 on my list, so it's not like this is a movie.
I've had
that
people
I,
tell me it's their least favorite movie multiple times, and I've been looked at very funny for what I've said.
So what is it that you like about it?
Well, so you get round two of everybody coming together to basically correct Tony Stark's mistake. Once again, why I hate that movie.
Tony Stark is the best villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
He really is.
Wait a minute. Thanos is pretty great. But
he's the one on Earth. He's the best villain on the Earth.
Yeah,
not throwing Killmonger up there?
I think he's a singular movie, I think.
fair enough.
Killmonger's great. Don't get me wrong. Black Panther is number six on
that. The other part of it is that's like the first time you get Scarlet Witch. The first time. I'm really sad that they killed Quicksilver. I was hoping that.
Oh, that was an FU to Fox, but that's besides the point.
Oh, I guarantee you.
That's kind of
funny. I mean, you get her, and, like, I love the moments in time where they're trying to stop, I'm sorry, when the dude picks up an entire continent to drop it on the Earth like a fucking meteor, how am I not, I was like, alright, I haven't seen that, I will give you that one, that's actually a decent idea, because that would kill everyone. Yeah.
For me, I like the fact that it's a very comic booky movie.
It is, and that's why I like it so
much. It's almost a video gamey movie in a sense, like, there's a bunch of, like, combo moves. Like, going through, and like, I can watch the first scene of Age of Ultron indefinitely. Like, that first sequence where they're, like, driving through the snowy mountains, and it's like, they do all of the combo moves, you know,
then,
bouncing the shield
off. And
there's
the one, like, slow motion cut where they're all next to each other, you know, like, going
That's the thing. That's why I love it so much. And then you get, like, Black Widow whipping around freaking electric batons, whacking the shit out of people.
Oh, and then that you get the sun setting real low moments are in that one. It's
in the Age of Ultron, she's the one who takes on the Hulk, too. That's running for her life.
Their whole relationship. For me, I love that idea of Black Widow and Bruce Banner.
Like, see, and I've always liked Captain America and Black Widow because of how
it was in too.
Claw is in that
our
one.
First introduction to Claw.
Yes, he gets his hand cut off
in that
and
one.
It was like an accident by Ultron. Ultron is probably the reason that movie doesn't work as well for people now, is they made some weird choices with him. I think his dialogue is great, but they made him almost too goofy.
So see, and that's one of the blank spots for me because of I never read it. So oh, for him as a villain, he was one of the best villains for me.
Oh, really?
Because he's in that blank. He's in that. That's the fun part with Marvel movies is that people sit in these blank spots. So the people who walk out, I'm like, I'm so pissed off about this. I'm like, I loved it.
I don't think he should have had lips. And I've held to that a long time. Like, they should have made it. It should have been a rigid structure with just the lights turning on. Because they went making maybe a tinge too human. We probably should talk about your number one as well.
I was just going to quickly say the only reason I don't like Age of Ultron is I always get pulled out in the last fight scene. Because action movies do this. This is kind of a big sin in action movies is to establish how badass the villain is. And then later on, not stick to those rules. Cause in the beginning, one Ultron was just wrecking everything. And then in the end fight scene, there's literally one point where and I know Black Widow's a badass, but she just punches an Ultron and it just explodes.
But the Ultrons that she's punching were the ones that were based on the light tech that, Tony was using as the police force. So they were not as powerful as he was.
Yeah.
They didn't have the fully fused vibranium skeleton. Okay.
He wasn't basically, and they're not indestructible.
The one who takes him out is Vision in the end. And mm-hmm. Vision was meant to be his final suit, mm-hmm. His final form.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
in a way, I think there's a nice bookend to that where it's honestly, this
probably one of my favorite scenes is that last end part. That slow-mo scene where they're slowly starting to drop. And everybody's just whooping ass, and I'm like,
what? Yeah.
We also get the introduction of Vision, which is pretty big.
Yeah, I actually said that too. You get the introduction of him. His character is really weird and interesting, and I really like Scarlet.
Oh, he picks up Mjolnir in that movie.
Yeah, he does.
And he passes it back to Thor. Just here.
Yeah.
So you're Black Panther, which is not a surprise to anybody. But what is the reasons it's there?
Black Panther is to me, easily the best Marvel movie because, and once again, goddammit, Patrick, stop talking about themes, but it was so interesting watching a deconstruction of colonialism, basically. This idea that what would happen if Africa decided to colonize the rest of the world that had, even though it had, so it's a present-day Africa that had already been colonized, but what if Wakanda can go? It's a super interesting philosophical sort of thought experiment, the whole movie, more than anything. And I think Ryan Coogler did an amazing job at portraying both the crazy action, the spirituality, and the...
so primitive.
Yeah, everything about the movie, I think, is perfect.
So, the reason this movie doesn't make my top five, Black Panther was the best part of Captain America's Civil War, and he was arguably the least interesting part of his own movie.
That's so... But...
I went into that wanting more Black Panther. I think that's really what my week...
And it turns out the movie should have been called Killmonger, Shuri, and Okoye.
Right. Because Killmonger's through line is what we follow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then also Okoye to,
She steals the show. My opinion, she's the best part of the movie.
Her and Shuri easily overshadow T'Challa in every scene.
I will say this, her tattoos... She's like, she doesn't have hair, but she kind of has hair because she has her tattoos. And I'm like, you got a hair
look. Whenever I see her with hair, it doesn't look right.
Right?
So that's one of the best parts. And talk about the subtleties and the great action in it. The first thing she does in the fight scene in the casino is take her hair off and throw it at the guy. Symbolic. I don't know.
Great movie, though.
Yeah, yes. Movie. Awesome movie. And obviously, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
It's so tight. It was such a great... the design of the suit goes a long way for me, because it was you did something I didn't expect, and you turned a stealth suit into the most Captain America-looking thing ever. And it's based on Steve Rogers when he was Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics. Just, I don't know, there's just something about the way the movie's put together as a 70s spy movie that is just...
We just see Cat running around. Black Widow!
Yeah, I know, right? Black Widow's amazing. Their relationship is great. We get the introduction of Sam of a Falcon in that movie.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
The villain scenario is so awesome. Super weird. It's basically like a corporate villain, and then...
But that sticks to like good old spy movies. Yeah. Where it turns out that the organization you're working for actually is the evil
organization. Oh, yeah, and that's the main thing is Hydra. You know, like you basically get the end of S.H.I.E.L.D. in that movie.
Yeah.
So, and the Helicarrier, like, army, which is just... There's a lot of just crazy... For as down-to-earth that movie is, it's actually pretty crazy.
And like talking about superhero physics too, like the the helicarrier scene. Oh. That's
the opening boat scene. The kick. The kick is always what I think about.
Yes! Oh my god! And Batroc. Oh my god! Such a good
Batroc the Leaper. They made cool. All right. Well, that's probably longer than we need to be. We're actually going to be cut off here. So everybody, 1, 2, 3, bye.